Well, hello and welcome. And it is good to be with you today. This time is always such a blessing. I look forward to it each week. I hope that you are having a good week. I hope that you're having a great day today. As I'm filming this afternoon, it's a little bit cloudy and overcast, just barely cool enough for a jacket. But it's good to be here. And the best part about it is as we come together like this, we're actually meeting with our Lord. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But again, our whole point is to meet with our Lord. So let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the day that You have given to us. Lord, that most importantly of all, Lord, You want us to know You. Father, You have created us. Father, through Your Son, You have purchased us, redeemed us from our sins, reconciled us unto Yourself, adopted us as Your children. And Father, You want us to know You. And Father, as we're here today, Lord, Father, I just pray that You'll speak to us through Your Word. And Father, through that, we'll hear Your voice, that You'll draw us closer to You, and we'll know You better, O Lord, than we ever have before. Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, it is good to be together and good to be with our Lord. And not just to have a head knowledge of the Bible, but to have a heart knowledge of Him. To grow in a relationship with Him. And the wonderful truth of the matter is the fact that through Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, we have a relationship with God. Jesus Himself defined salvation this way, when He said in John 17:3, that this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. And that relationship is only possible through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Any other religion is in fact a false way. There's only one way unto God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And I hope that you've placed your faith and trust in Him. And if you haven't done so, I pray that even right now you're hearing the Spirit call you, convict you of your sins, open your eyes to the gospel, and that you're allowing Him to draw you unto Christ. But again, through Christ, we have a wonderful relationship with God. And as we open God's Word to Psalm 116, we see some of the implications of that relationship, some of the applications, some of the response that we need to have. As we look at Psalm 116, as we begin working our way through it, we first of all have to begin wondering, well, what exactly, you know, what type of a relationship is it that we have with God? We keep talking about a relationship with Him, but what is that relationship like? There are all kinds of relationships. We'll look at verses 1 and 2 as we look at the essence of our relationship with God. That is what it's really like. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications. Because He's inclined His ear to me, therefore I shall call upon Him as long as I live. It's obvious from those verses that the type of relationship we have with God is in fact a love relationship. And it's a relationship in fact initiated by God. We know from Romans chapter 5 verse 8 that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you think about the implications or how that applies as we look at these two verses, the latter part of verse 1, going through the very first part of verse 2, how it talks how He's heard my voice, my supplications, because He's inclined His ear to me. God loves us enough to act. Certainly in terms of salvation, making that salvation possible, bringing us personally to that salvation. But in everyday life, our God loves us enough to act. And our part is to respond to Him in love, as we see in the very first part of verse 1. I love the Lord because He hears. Now, we need to understand the word love there. I know we hear that word in our culture, and the first thing we think about is an emotional response. And that certainly is wonderful when it's there. But the love here is a love of the will, where we give Him first place in everything. It's the love that's described in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 5 where it says, you shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, meaning that is to be the controlling influence on your life, your desire to please Him. In fact, it should be what motivates and guides you in every single part of your life. But when we think about the essence of this relationship, it is a love relationship that He has begun and we respond to. God has created us and recreated us to be in the loving relationship with Himself. You think of the old Westminster Catechism. How does it express it? It asks the question, what is the chief end of man? It answers it by saying the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so we see the essence of this relationship that we have with God is a relationship of love. But look as well, as we look at the experience of our relationship with God, and we'll see this in verses 3 through 11, though we'll break it down in various parts. But you think about what it says. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me. I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. The psalmist there is obviously dealing with the very real issues of life, just like we deal with the very real issues of life. And yet in the midst of them, he sought the Lord, and the Lord heard him. The Lord helped him. The Lord moved in a powerful way. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. I'm sure all of us can look back at times in which God has wonderfully moved and has in fact delivered us. The experience of that relationship with God, we do experience His graciousness, His preservation, the rest, the peace that He gives to our soul, the sense of rescue that we experience, the reality of knowing that we're with the Lord and He is with us, and knowing He alone is the only one whom we can fully, completely, totally trust. God is real, and He works in the lives of those who believe and trust in Him. So again, I need to ask you, have you trusted Him? Do you believe in Him? That is, in fact, the experience of the ongoing relationship with God. We see the essence of it is love. We see the experience of it in everyday life. But then look with me as we look at the expression of our relationship with God. Again, God works and moves in our lives. Well, what should we do? Well, what did the psalmist do? Verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? He's asking the very same question. And look at the answers that we see as we read verse 13 through 19. As we look at how he begins to express this. I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Oh, Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all of His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. So how do we express our love for the Lord as a response to His love for us? Well, first thing, this might sound kind of strange, we possess. And by that I mean this. We possess, we fulfill the plan, the purpose that He has for us. You think about Israel with the promised land. It was God's will. They showed their love, their devotion, their commitment to God by following the Lord and, in fact, taking possession of the land that He had given unto them. You think about what we see in the very first part of verse 13. This is what it means. It says, I shall lift up the cup of salvation. The idea there is to take fully all He wants to give. You know, amazingly, one of the best ways that we can express our love for the Lord and our thanks unto Him is, in fact, by doing and fulfilling what He wants us to do and to fulfill, to take possession of what He has. You think about Caleb, one of my favorite characters from the Old Testament. You recall how Moses sent out the spies. They came back. Joshua and Caleb gave a favorable report and said, the land is good and God's going to enable us to take it. But 10 said, yeah, the land is good, but there's no way we can take it. And as a result of that, we call the congregation, the people of Israel believed the 10 rather than Joshua and Caleb. And out of disbelief, they did not enter the land. And the consequence of that was God caused them to wander in the wilderness until that generation died out. But you remember, after that generation died out, God brought them into the land of promise. Caleb wanted the land that God had in fact given unto him. And Caleb went to take possession of that land. It's the same for us. We show our love for the Lord by taking possession of the plan, the purpose, the calling that He has for us. And you think about your life from where you are now. What is God wanting you to do? What has He put before you? You show your love for Him by taking possession, by following by faith and trust, because it's going to be of Him, not of you. But you follow in obedience and trust and take possession. And so we possess. But obviously, we've already commented on the need for this. We, in fact, trust. Look again at the latter part of verse 13. I shall call upon the name of the Lord. Look at verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. Look at the latter part of verse 17. And call upon the name of the Lord. God's desire is for us to put our complete and total trust in Him. What are the two verses out of Proverbs that you either have memorized or you've certainly read them many times? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. God wants you to put your complete and total trust in Him. What God wants from us, as an expression of our love for Him, as the consequence or the result of His love for us, is for us to put our trust in Him. You think about where you are today and what you're facing, or what He has put before you. Maybe it's an opportunity. He's wanting you to trust Him with that area. To follow Him, to do what He says to do, to not do what He doesn't say, what He tells you not to do, but to walk by faith. We need to trust Him. But then lastly, notice as well, we in fact, actually not last, but next to the last, we need to worship. Look at verse 14. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all of His people. Look at verses 18 and 19. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Probably here talking about a freewill offering, an offering He made as a result of seeing God work and move. But the idea there is that it's an act of worship from the heart. In the presence of God's people as a witness and, in fact, as a testimony. We need to worship the Lord for who He is and for what He's done. Yes, as an act of adoration for ourselves, but as a testimony for the lost, but certainly for God's people as an encouragement. And then lastly, D, thanksgiving. Look at verse 17. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. You think about all that God has done for you. Have you thanked Him today? You think about what He's done for you just in today. Have you thanked Him for that? This wonderful relationship to which He has called us and all the ways He's worked and moved. You know, you think about the chorus. It's been around for decades now, but give thanks with a grateful heart. How true that is, and how we in fact need to do that. When you think of this great God who loves us, who sought us, brought us to Himself, who works and moves in our lives, who has a plan and a purpose, and He strengthens and enables us to fulfill that plan and purpose, who just showers us with His love, how can we do anything less than give thanks with a grateful heart? What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful relationship to which He has called us. And I hope that through this day you walk with Him, you grow in Him, and you experience His wonderful love. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for the love that You have for us. Oh Lord, You are such a great and awesome and wonderful God. Father, may we walk in love and adoration of you, take possession of what you have before us, walk in faith, and give glory unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you do have a great day for whatever day it is that you're watching this. But I hope that more than anything, what makes it great is the fact that you walk in the fellowship with the Lord, that you know His love, His nearness, that you experience Him in every part of your life.